A high school in Adelaide's northern suburbs is adopting a radical plan to improve educational outcomes for students. The Fremont Elizabeth City High School is abolishing years 8, 9 and 10. Instead, it'll group the students for each subject according to academic progress. Under the plan to create South Australia's first transformational school, that's what they're calling it, student failure will not be an option, with individual support kicking in when needed. Rob Knight is the principal of Fremont Elizabeth City High School. We welcome him to RN Breakfast. Hello, Rob.
Good morning, James, and good morning to your listeners.
If I may ask a direct question first up, where does your school rank in the tally of South Australian high schools?
Well, we don't have an official ranking in South Australia, and certainly we don't have a public ranking of schools, but from where our school sits, we are a very marginalised community, and we suffer extreme disadvantage in our area, and so we would certainly be down the bottom of any type of analysis of us educationally.
And that is what you're proposing to address with this new approach to schooling?
Yeah, we're a school that we've existed for about 50 years. We've had four amalgamations over that period of time, and our data over the last 20 years, certainly around attendance patterns for students, engagement patterns, and also ultimately academic outcomes for kids from tertiary pathway perspective and also a vocational perspective, has certainly not been adequate.
But it certainly wasn't always that way. Elizabeth has generated wonderful leaders in the 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s.
Yeah, it certainly did. It's quite a revered school and has a reputation that does go back to the 60s and 70s. It had over 2,000 students in those days. And when Elizabeth was first settled as a satellite city, there were a lot of immigrants to that area, very aspirational. And many of those particular graduates are still leaders throughout our country today.
So what went wrong?
Well, I just think it's a culmination of social change, demographic change within the area, taking our eye off the ball in relation to the needs of students, and possibly an education system that, from our point of view as a school, has really not kept pace with some of the changes needed under 21st century learning for students.
So you're abolishing, in a means of addressing this year 8 and 9 age-based classes, and instead grouping kids to ability. Explain the plan.
Yeah, it's not so much abolishing year 8 and 9 and 10, although those terms will disappear. It's more so about the way that we are looking to group students based upon their needs. And we call it our differentiation level model. And I think for your listeners to understand it more simply, when we talk about kids learning, we talk about all kids learn at different rates. All kids have different learning needs. And if we think back to, you know, very young toddlers, we learn to walk at different ages, we talk at different ages, our motor skills develop differently, our cognitive skills develop at different rates. But what we tend to do in order to satisfy the management of kids in school, we put them in year levels and we simply move them through from one year to the next. Now, the problem with that is that we don't end up, in many cases, kids actually developing, but the comprehension of basic skills, let alone mastery of those skills. So our model plans to look at addressing that by saying, let's treat each of our students as independent learners around their particular needs, so that we can best address what's best for them.
So you may have a kid who's good at English, and he'll be with kids who are older than him or her, and you may have that same student who's not so good at maths, and he or she'll be in a class with younger people.
That's exactly right, and it's a very fluid model. Ours is many of your listeners may recall when they went to school, where you might have had an advanced group, an intermediate group, and a below standard group. Ours is not that type of model. Ours will have very fluid models across 5 levels, and students will be in different levels depending upon what they're actually studying at that time and where their skills are assessed. And students will actually be able to move between levels very, very quickly, so they won't be locked into one level of class for all their subjects, or indeed over the semester or the year.
And the bright kids don't want to get, or the kids that are accomplishing well, don't want to get held back by the kids who need special attention. At the same time, the lower ranked kids need the attention, and they don't want all the focus going on the excellence. Is that a way of addressing that?
That's correct, James. And I think when we again look at the learning needs of students, when we look about, we believe this will be a model that will actually promote self-esteem and achievement amongst our students. Because what you have now is a situation where when students don't meet the learning goals of a particular year level or a subject, what tends to happen as a result of that, they become disengaged, they become behaviour followers in school, and eventually if the situation becomes very serious, they end up dropping out. This model actually allows us to actually break the students apart and differentiate learning. And in educational circles, the term differentiation of learning is something that we all agree with from a philosophical point of view. But in practice, for a teacher to actually differentiate learning across a class of, say, 25 to 30 students, in practice, that's very, very difficult to achieve, particularly in very disadvantaged schools like mine.
We call it differentiation of learning. Teenagers, anyone who has them will know, they're much more direct and much more frank. They call it a dumb class and a smart class. Will this model involve those characterisations?
Look, I absolutely hope not. And again, I think I'll point back to my earlier comment that a previous model that you may be familiar with is those three levels where students did just get lumped in the advanced class or, to use your terms, the dumb class. This is not about that. This is about the fluid movement of students consistently through those levels depending on their particular needs.
And what we forget is the kids in the middle who may be intimidated by the excellence of the top kids, they'll actually have the top kids separated, and that'll give them an incentive, which they're almost halfway down the track, of maximising themselves to the best of their abilities.
That's exactly right, James. Yeah, I think, again, if you look, I've been a principal for 16 years, and if I look statistically at academic performance over all my years, the top 20% of students very rarely changes in schools. Yes, you might have a few students come into that group and a few drop out of that group, but that's a very stable and static group. Your middle group of students is very similar, and at the bottom end of the scale, your disadvantaged group, they actually tend to actually become a smaller group, not because kids get promoted and develop their learning skills, but they actually end up dropping out of school. So, you know, nationally, when we talk about all the issues and we look at the simplistic means around NAPLAN testing, what we're tending to not focus on there is the really large tail that exists across Australia from a disadvantaged point of view, and we really need to do some significant work at all levels, but in particular that disadvantaged group, to get their skills and abilities up level with other students.
We're with Rob Knight, the principal of the Fremont Elizabeth City High School in South Australia, who has this innovative plan of getting kids in years 8, 9 and 10 to go into the maths or English or science class that suits their academic needs rather than simply matches their age. So what's been the response from parents and students?
Yeah, we had a fantastic release yesterday, and what I think is very exciting about this is when it's not a project and it's not a pilot. As you mentioned in your opening address, this is a transformational plan that has the government's backing and the education department's backing. And I think from our point of view, that's a fantastic, it provides us a fantastic opportunity in South Australia to actually do something which is very innovative and creative and really addresses the needs of kids. And the fact that our government and our education department are backing this plan really means that we are focusing primarily on the needs of kids and trying to improve outcomes for kids rather than just simply doing band-aid remedies to the problem.
And it applies just to your school at this stage?
Yeah, at this stage we're going to be a benchmark and a test case for the system. But what we hope is that as a result of the work over the next 3 years, we'll be able to create opportunities for other schools to have a look at our practice and indeed share in it. Across South Australia, we have some tremendous principals, and they all work in different jurisdictions. We've got our leafy greens, our middle class, and principals in my area. But one of the great things about education in South Australia is there's innovation practice going on everywhere. So our particular model may not apply to a leafy green or a middle class school, and vice versa. And I think that's the exciting part about the project.
Well, Rob Knight, we thank you very much for being with us, and congratulations.
Thank you, James. My pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Exciting years ahead for teachers, principals, parents and staff and kids at Fremont Elizabeth City High School.